Coming to you live from St. Louis, Missouri.
It's the Faster Freedom Show.
With your hosts, Sam Prim and Lucas Wolf.
We're talking about freedom.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
Lucas, are you ready for today's episode?
I am. I'm always ready.
I wouldn't say that, but you are as ready as you're going to be. Because
right,
today we have a lot of really fun things, but we're going to start this off with a mind-blowing question.
Ooh,
I want your
mind.
Opinion on this, Lucas.
Yeah.
Do you think humans are naturally born good or evil?
That is such a good question.
It's kind of like the nature versus nurture in general. Like,
similar.
You know, does your environment shape who you are, or is it part of your DNA?
I would say
good.
Okay.
What would you say?
You don't sound too confident in that.
Well, do you think like some of these like crazy evil people that our history has seen, like serial killers like Ted Bundy and all those people, do you think they were born evil?
I think people are potentially born with like maybe some mental illness, some like genetic things, but in general, I think it's mainly environmental. I think I just know like little kids, we have them, they're not born with any hate. They don't hate another sex, another religion, another race ever. That doesn't even cross their mind until society puts that in them. So I think maybe the deep-rooted, like crazy fucked up people that you just mentioned, but 99% of people, I think any people that end up hating or being evil or disliking something, it's 100% their environment, usually their parents.
I do think children are born with some sort of challenge of some sort that they have to overcome, and that the environment steps in, not evil, so to speak, but whether it be lack of confidence or I don't know, anything. But as far as evil goes, I believe 99.999% are probably born good.
Three nines?
At least.
That's aggressive.
Yeah,
I think so too. So I'm interested what the audience thinks, but in generally, I think there are obviously some, what is the word? Exceptions. That's the word, exceptions. But in general, that's a big word. Start with an E or an A.
E.
Okay, good job. In general, I think very few people are born evil, but I do think environment can tilt one the other way, or tilt somebody that maybe has some predispositions.
Yeah.
How you like that word?
Yeah.
Predispositions to maybe being a little bit nasty, to kind of push them the other way.
I know. It sucks. Like, you could be teetering on the edge, right? And, I don't know. You know, I feel like the people that could be teetering or have some mental illness out the womb,
Out the womb
could be in a great environment, in a loving environment that steer them in the right direction, or unfortunately it could be the opposite, where they don't have a whole bunch of home support, which sucks.
It does. Cool. All right. Well, that was an interesting way to start a show today. We're going to talk about all the hate that we get on social media, mainly me, but that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to go through some of the most common hate question or hate comments and DMs that I get, and just honestly get Luke's reaction to them and my reaction to them, and see what you all think about them. So make sure to share this episode if you're watching on YouTube or any of the video platforms, as well as the audio platforms. Share this. Make sure you're subscribing, and we're just going to have a fun episode. Then we're going to get into some current headlines, talk some, like we do every time, talk some Drake, talk some California, talk some new legislation, and then we're going to get into some motivational thoughts, and then I'm going to shoot the outline in the trash can and get two up on Lucas, who's you're going to miss. Deal?
I'm not going to miss today. I'm going to tie it today.
No way. All right. So the most common one I get is landlords are evil. Owning property is an evil thing to do. You should not own a core essential. You shouldn't profit off an essential thing for life. What do you say about that?
Well, let's think about some other things that are essential.
Water.
Do people profit off water?
Yes.
Bottled water, water companies.
Food.
Food.
Do people profit off food?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oxygen may be the only thing not.
Yes. Yet.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess you do. If you want extra, you can pay for it.
Yeah. What else? Not essential, but things that you really probably.
Clothing.
Like insurance. you know, health insurance, you know, to get the care that you need.
Yeah, because even if it's like somewhere that they pay for, you still pay for it through taxes, or you pay for it, it's not free.
Yeah, and honestly, health insurance is way more grimier than landlords are in my eyes.
I agree.
So I think some work could be done there. I don't know what that looks like, but probably the people that are saying that definitely feel this way about health insurance, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. So so yeah, that my general take is similar. It's one of those things where probably some are, but like anything else, some landlords probably are evil, but in general, it's not an evil thing to own real estate, because what's the alternative? Do you want like the government to run everything? Yeah, you don't want that. Nobody wants that. Even
they've tried.
Yeah,
they're not any good at that. They know that.
Yeah,
that's why they give tax incentives to investors.
So there's certain things
they know the private sector can handle.
Yes.
Real estate better than they can.
It's and the market will drive the prices. Nobody's charging double what they should. It's the market dictates the prices and the rent and
it's
things
a free
like
market,
that.
Just like everything.
Yeah.
You're not evil, Sam. Don't let these comments get to you, bro.
I know. That one does. Some of them used to a little bit, but not a ton. So, yeah. I definitely disagree with this one, and not trying to pick on it, but it's usually the profile pictures of the people that say this usually are, one of those. When you think of, like, somebody that's, like, more of, like, a socialist kind of communist kind of side of, like, wanting everything to be free kind of thing.
Yeah, these are all their beliefs.
Yes, and that they're...
Obviously, they're not going to get wealthy and be financially free through real estate, and hopefully they find some other way to do that is more morally aligned with them.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
I agree. All right, ready for the next one?
Yeah.
This one's pretty common, actually. You don't own anything. The banks own the real estate. What do you think? What's your response to that?
Well, obviously, we have some debt on our properties, which the bank has the loan to it, which is a deed of trust. But the ownership's in our name, not the bank's name.
Yeah, the bank's not on the bank.
They helped us finance it.
They have a lien on it, but they don't own it.
We don't fulfill our duties to make payments, and they have the right to step in and take that over.
Did you just say the word duty?
Duty?
Mm-hmm. Like a duty in the potty?
How do you spell that?
Is duty in the potty is like D-O-O-T. How do you spell duty?
D-O-O-D-I-E?
Right?
Would that be a duty?
D-O-O-T-Y?
Yeah.
Like the duty in the potty. How do you spell that one?
I think that one.
D-O-O-D-Y.
D-O-O-D-I-E? I-E.
Because, so, like, duty is like D-U-T-Y. I get that, like, your duty.
I don't think duty is, like, a real word. I don't know.
I doubt that.
I think it's
Shane,
slang.
Look up, is duty in the dictionary?
Yeah, it's duty in the dictionary.
All right.
Anyway, D-U-T-Y.
Yes, duty. It's your duty. No, I agree, and obviously I've had a little more thought on these because I see them all the time, but I would take it further if you're going to go down that route. You don't own anything. Even if you have something paid off, it can still be taken from you through eminent domain or so,
tax liens.
Tax liens if you don't pay your taxes. Like, if you want to go that, like, the banks have a mortgage or have a lien on it, it's all they have on it. If you want to go that route, then you can say nobody owns anything.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's what they're trying to say. It's just a silly thing. Like,
it's all about your beliefs again. Like, you can look at, like,
you can't
banks.
Be so understanding of people. You got to get mad at them.
No, I am mad at this person.
Okay, good.
I don't
fuck them.
Their beliefs are dumb. No, but it's their beliefs. And your beliefs shape your reality, and if you believe, like, banks are evil, that's going to be your reality, and you're never going to be able to build a relationship with them to help you achieve your financial goals.
All right, perfect. You ready for similar to what you were saying? But we don't want that. I'm just showing my quote I put out there. Ready?
Yeah.
Be careful how you perceive the world, because that's exactly how it is.
Yes.
I like that. I've heard that one before. All right, on to the next one. I think we are knocking these out the park. So in general, the banks obviously have a lien on the property, and most people get things financed, but whether they have a lien on it or not, we still own it. We're on the title. They're not on the title.
Yeah.
They can't take it from us if we make the payments and perform our duty. Similar to the government can't take a property if you're paying taxes, but they can. You have 100% paid off property, you don't pay your taxes, it's gone.
Yeah.
So similar to that.
Yeah. Number three.
You are stealing houses away from people that need houses. What do you think about that? We're stealing houses from people.
I'll get into the way we do it, because I don't believe how we do it is that at all. But if this is from, like, Wall Street or an institutional home buyers buying up tens and thousands of houses, they do change the way the market is.
Okay.
They buy them. And a lot of times lately, at least when the market was hot for these guys, they are beating out homeowners for these.
Okay. But they're taught, they're saying we do this.
But I'm just saying it can happen to a very, very large scale. If you're buying a very large scale, which we are not even close to that realm. And to me, it depends on what you do with those houses. If you're providing safe quality housing for rent or for sale, great. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not stealing away from anybody. That house is still a house for somebody mm-hmm. to live in. But what I see happen is they're not doing the right things with these houses. And then they don't keep up on the houses. They don't take care of their tenants. And then they just dump them all back into the market. And there's a whole bunch of as-is houses that it takes people like us to go buy them and restore them and bring them back to life for another family to live in for either sale or rent.
So how do you say how would you respond to saying we're not selling houses away?
Yeah, so the type of houses that we buy are houses that need to be refurbished. There is the builders, we're in a housing shortage, a housing crisis, I would say. We don't have enough houses for people to live in. The builders still have a little PTSD from 2008. So they haven't ramped up the way they needed to support the demand of all this new influx of new home buyers. So it's going to take people like you and I mm-hmm. and our other investors in our community to refurbish the existing housing stock to make more houses available to live in, not just sitting nasty on the market. So the houses that we buy are distressed. No one's living in them a lot of times anyway, and we bring them back to life for people to live in. So I think that's a good thing. I think we're providing more houses.
Yeah, pull up the next one. You're the reason the housing market is bad. So these are kind of tied together. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the exact opposite. We take houses, like you kind of mentioned, I'm just going to word it a little bit differently. We take houses that are not livable and add them to the supply. Mm-hmm. What people need is a supply of livable houses.
Yeah.
We take houses that are not livable and sell them to somebody who makes them livable, and they rent them or sell them, or we do that and we close on them and rent them or sell them. So we are in fact helping. We are not hurting. We're taking
helping home prices
and helping home availability and supply. If there weren't real estate investors, these homes would literally just go to shit, and then they would deteriorate, and then they would look worse, and all the home values around it. So people just don't put that much thought into it, but we're helping the supply. Real estate investors help the supply of needed houses, not hurt it at all.
100%.
Cool. All right, this is a good one. What do you think about this next one, Lucas? I'll let you read it.
It's kind of similar to what we're just talking about, right?
No, this next one.
That is the next one.
Well, there's one, the next one.
The next one. Eat the rich.
I get this one a lot.
What does that mean?
I'm not quite sure, but I get this one. This is probably top three comments I get.
Really?
If I get a video that goes viral,
so is that like a saying?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That one, and that goes along with the Mao, which is funny. There's a max allowable offer formula, and then there's MAO. The guy's name is Mao. He's some Chinese guy back in the day that was like a ruler that killed like several million landlords, people that owned houses. He just killed them all because he thought socialist China that you shouldn't own houses. So, yeah, I just thought that was an interesting one. Eat the rich is what they go.
Yeah,
oh, we're Googling something.
And I think we live in a capitalist market, which has been good for America and the progression that we've made as a country. And if you want to live here, there's always going to be some sort of inequality. Unfortunately, if we could figure out a way to shrink that gap a little bit, I'm fine with that. But there's going to be some rich people and some not as rich people here in America. And if that's not your thing, maybe this isn't the country for you.
Yeah, and I think there's a big gap, and I understand coming from where we sit that people may not think it rings true, but I don't think it's that bad. Going to some other countries, you just see people everywhere that are living in huts, living in, you know, the underdeveloped countries. Like most people that, even if they struggle, they have a nice house with air conditioning and water and
we have
food.
A middle class.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is the bridges, like the super poor and the ultra wealthy. Whereas other countries, there's like a ruler or a king living in a palace and then everybody else poor.
Everybody else, poor, and they don't have access to running water, things like that. So it's one of those things where it's not that bad. I get there are bad situations, but overall, holistically, it's pretty good.
That's your word this month.
Holistically, it is. Yeah. It is. So yeah, eat the rich. I get that one quite a bit. A lot of eat the rich. A lot of we're going to start with you and with the revolt begins. And
how do you think someone would eat you, Sam? How would they prepare?
I would think you're going to. I don't think they're just gonna like just go to like town on like my arm. I would think we're gonna like do like a deer thing where or animal. You're gonna chop it up, cut out the meat, cook the meat, cook the fat, cook the muscle.
How would you cook it?
I mean, probably just barbecue, right?
What do you mean by that?
Like cut off my leg and cut off my leg and just cut out the meat and just throw it on the grill with some spices and just go. I'd assume you're not just gonna eat my leg while I'm alive, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, what do you think the best cut of meat is? Would be in you?
Probably my I would just your thighs.
Yeah, into the
gluteus maximus, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Get a little bit of flavor with that fat. All right.
Yeah, I would think that's how it would go. All right.
Eat the rich.
As a slogan originates from a quote that's attributed to philosopher Jean Jacques Rousseau. That's actually pretty good, wasn't it?
No.
Why? You say it then. Say the name.
Jacques.
Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
How do you pronounce Jacques, first of all?
Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Rousseau.
What'd you say, Shane, or say it again?
Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
That's not right. When the people shall have nothing more to eat, they will eat the rich as a chant against the wealth inequality.
Yeah.
I'm not going too much of a tangent here, but like people that don't at least have enough money to eat. Like most of it's on them. I did a post that actually took down, but I had lunch the other day with a gentleman who made Facebook groups about that like are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. He literally did it for free on his phone. He hustled and curated Facebook groups of real estate investors that had money. Like that was no experience, no needed. He didn't pay a dime. He literally like there's opportunities for you if you're willing to work hard, no matter what, you can
and
make
again,
it work.
This goes back to your beliefs, like believing that everybody that has money is evil is to me would not serve my life.
Well, it's just. The more we're around people that have, like the most people, the reason they have money is because they're good people.
Yes, for sure. But when one of the examples on here is the GameStop debacle, and I'm that was kind of cool to see all these ordinary people making like Wall Street lose money for a little bit there. That was kind of cool to me. I don't know. What did you think about that whole thing?
I don't know a ton about it. I didn't watch that movie and I didn't really even understand it when it happened, but I do now. They're kind of just shorted it, right? And
well, the big guy shorted it.
And then they made it float.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Awesome. On to the next one. This one is it's top five probably. If you really own $50 million in real estate, you would not be making TikToks or posting on social media. What would you say to like you're like if you really had it so big, why are you even wasting your time doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Part of it is because we just want to show people how we did it and document our journey. And believe we invest in real estate in the right way, as we talked about earlier. So why wouldn't we teach other people how to do that and go impact their neighborhoods and create more of this housing stock for people to help, you know, get back to a more healthy market? Why wouldn't we want that for our entire country? So I think that's pretty cool. And also it's just like, you know, we love real estate, but you in particular have other passions too. And teaching people and creating content's one of them. So why not do what you love?
I agree. Did we give a shout out to our peeps here?
Who do we got here?
We got Bridget, we got Katie, and we got Morgan hanging out.
Nice.
Hello.
Texas.
Tejas?
Texas and who knows, northeast somewhere.
Yeah.
Patriot town. I know. So anyways, they're in town for Freedom Fest.
Nice.
And they're hanging out a little bit early. That's fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, back to it. So yeah, my reaction to this is a little bit like similar but different. Like obviously we're trying to help people and show the right way. We, you know, have 3 million followers on social media and, you know, 1600 students. So there's a ton of people that we just get, you know, free advice from us per se. But like I'm not comparing us to these people, but like Elon Musk, he has more money than ever knows to do with, yet he still works 80 hours a week. Just because we have hit some financial levels doesn't mean you're going to just stop working. Like this is building a brand, working, building more streams of income, creating more wealth, creating more financial freedom, just creating more to improve our lifestyle as well as help more people. So it's more of that. Like driven people don't have an end game usually. Yeah. The people that want to work hard and retire at 40 and sit on the beach every day. That type of mindset, in my opinion, will never lead to actually being able to do that. No. The people that are able to do that have the mindset that they enjoy what they do and they want to do more. So that's my reaction to it.
Maybe at some point in your life, right?
Yeah.
Like if $50 million was our end game and we were 65 years old, you know, maybe we would.
Yeah,
Maybe we wouldn't be on social media making content. I don't know. Maybe we will. But that's not our end game. That's where we're at right now in our mid-30s. And we have bigger goals than that, to build a bigger company. And part of that, to me, is just the realization that, you know, we can't do that hiding under a rock. You know what I mean? So we have to spread the word of what we're doing here and get more awareness about our company in particular. So I love the brand building aspect.
I would say it's more of a boulder if you're going to hide under it. That rock.
Yeah, not little.
No, you're not. You're a big human, so it'd be a boulder.
Yeah.
Has to be propped up or it'd smush you.
I know. That's probably not the best place to hide.
No, I wouldn't think so. There's a lot better places to hide than under a rock. Yeah, sounds very uncomfortable.
Like, where would you hide in this building?
Probably like in a closet or something, or maybe like in the stall and like set up on the stall so they don't see your feet underneath it kind of thing.
I probably would go in our storage room in the Waterbury Meeting Center and like there's like chairs back there and like try to crawl under those.
Or maybe I'd like go in like the elevator and climb up on top
of it.
That'd
be good. Yeah. Elevator shaft.
Yep. All right. So another one we get is he's just selling courses, buy my course. And honestly, this one used to be like, well, like I didn't used to like it, but now I'm like,
yeah,
we have an incredible community there here. Like we, you know, help so many people. And we have the systems and the community, and education is one thing, but where education meets implementation, that's where people need the help. We need it. With what we're doing with Noah and them, we're going to spend $150,000 on education this year. Like we believe in it. We spend it. It helps us get a quicker return and more efficient return than just figuring it out on your own. So yes, of course I do.
Of course. 100%. Of course, buy the course. Yeah. I mean, why does McDonald's run ads?
Yeah. Exactly.
To buy their cheeseburgers.
It's our way to help people as well.
They want to show you how delicious their cheeseburgers is.
Is that what they are?
They're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McDonald's is, yeah.
You like their fries?
I probably have McDonald's. I'd say about every other year I'll have a McDonald's.
Yeah, same.
What about you? Yeah.
Maybe twice.
What's your fast food place to go?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell and Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Taco Bell's breakfast is not bad.
It's very good.
Yeah. What's your go-to on your Taco Bell breakfast?
I usually don't get breakfast there, but they got that breakfast crunch wrap. It's really good. But I usually get like their steak burrito or some sort of Chipotle chicken burrito.
Steak burrito? You're so boring. Get like a quesadilla.
Quesadilla is just out there.
With no creamy jalapeno sauce. Yeah. Just cheese and chicken.
Cheese and chicken.
I get that. And then I like their Crunchwrap Supreme.
Oh, great.
No Tom's.
Yeah. When I was a vegetarian, I used to get the black bean Crunchwrap. It was like my go-to.
That sounds so disgusting.
Aren't you allergic to beans?
I am, yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. Here's a good one. I've got this one from a couple different people a few different times, usually around the holiday season. I hope your family gets cancer for Christmas.
Oh, boy.
I got that one like 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah. You should like start writing diss tracks for every people that talks
like Drake.
About your
We're going to talk
if
about
you
Drake
keep
and Kendrick.
Friendly, I'm good. But if you talk about my family, I'm coming after you.
Going to get you with these. Come at me with them, bro.
Yeah.
This one is more of imagine this one. I've like, this is more than any of them on here, even Eat the Rich. This one, I have more empathy for the person that writes this than any of the other ones. Some of them are misbelief. Some of them are like, just Eat the Rich. Like, okay, that's who you are. Some of them are like, they don't understand what we do. But this one is just like, where would you have to be in your life to like
wish that on
children? Yeah. And just like verbalize it or put it out there where somebody can see it on a comment or a DM. This one's usually DM'd. But anyways, I have more Gary Vee style, more empathy for people that write that than hate.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
That's just over the top.
How would you, how sad of, like how depressed are you with your life to do that?
Yeah. Pretty.
So I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
All right, here's another good one. I hope 08 happens and you lose everything. It happens again and you lose everything is what we get a lot of. I hope the market shifts. And quite a few, this is probably the second or third most common one, is hoping you lose it all.
Yeah, kind of similar to Eat the Rich and maybe not the cancer thing. But just don't like that, you know, we're wealthy and have built what we built and hope it all goes away sometimes. So you can hope whatever you want. But we're going to be here for a long time.
So. Yeah. And it's one of those things where if you're not everybody, a lot of people, but not everybody lost at all in 08. That was usually people that were over-leveraged and that had too much of their chips stacked in the stock market and real estate. Those are people that really got crushed. If, you know, they were spread out or they, you know, were just flipping or wholesaling, they usually would, like, take a loss or two and then move on. So it's one of those things where you can... We're not preparing for 08, but we're attempting to have multiple streams to allow us to, if things do tighten up, to continue to push through. Because we have, and we're going to be buying more companies, but we have, you know, three different companies that bring in income that even if they shrink a little bit, the goal is at least one of them does well or there's enough trickle to keep it going.
And I mean, businesses, big, good businesses go out of business all the time, all the time. So it's not really just about the market. It's just about, you know, we could run a crappy business in a great market and go out of business. We could run a really good business in a shitty market and be just fine. Like,
I think we're in the middle.
Probably somewhere in the middle right now. We're trying to, go up the gradient.
Oh.
Shout Noah.
Noah.
Yeah.
Noah Jeff in the house.
Yep.
Nobody knows what that means.
Nope.
They never will. All right. Okay, on to the last one of this section. Then we're going to get into some headlines. Stop exploiting the worst working class. Again, there's a theme to a lot of these. This one's a little bit different, but, you know, charging the working class for rent is kind of where this has come from. You're like exploiting. They're paying their wages to you. For rent.
I mean, some of them, absolutely, just like everyone else in the country. Part of their income goes to their shelter.
And there's nowhere that it's free, even in like a socialist or a communist society. Like, you are paying tax, you are paying into the government. Even if the government runs it, you're still paying for it. Nothing's free. Like, you either pay for it for your disposable income rent, like a capitalist society, or you let everybody control what you do and how much money you make, and they allow you to only do certain things, and you're paying for it through taxes and through, you know, what you pay and work for them for. So it's never a scenario where it's just given to you.
Yeah, and just the type of housing we provide and the service we provide, you know, I think the working class would want to be a tenant for us. And then also, it's, you know, 280 tenants, give or take. You know, that seems like a lot, but
it's not really.
But the amount of people that we help with providing jobs that fix up these houses that are all working class, you know, is a lot more than 280 people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you're saying
we're helping the working class.
We're not even talking about rent. I get what you're saying. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on all those comments? That's all of them. Just round it out here. It's just, I think most of it's one of those hurt people kind of things. And then, majority of it, I think, is honestly just misinformation, people not understanding how we do or what we do or why we do it.
Yeah, just kind of stereotyping, I would think. Just looping everybody into this one big bucket of rich equals evil, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, and there are shitty landlords out there, just like there's shitty everything. There's shitty lawyers, shitty doctors, shitty everything. There's the spectrum of most good, probably incredible, and then crappy. It's like in any industry, any business, it's the same.
Yeah.
So, and we do our best not to be on that South Pole end of that spectrum.
Yeah. How would you say these have affected you?
Not really a ton. Affected, I believe that would be an A.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love the confidence. I don't know that. Well, I understand that, but which is the right context for this? Oh, she wasn't paying attention, of course. Affected. No, not at all, really. I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, at first you kind of read it and see it, and it was interesting there for a while. Like, I do get messages of thank you, I've done this, I've done that, and you get, you know, dozens of quality and thankful comments and DMs, and then you get the negative one, and that kind of sticks with you. But in general, the more I, like, see them and break them down, like we talked about the other day, you know, learning something, doing it, and then teaching it, you get them, like, actually, like, walking and talking through these in my head as they come through. It's just misinformation more than anything.
Yeah, misinformation. I think in order to get people's attention, you know, we kind of, you and other people in this space have to be a little more elaborate in their content, period. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have to occasionally cringe a little bit just to get or you're not going to get views.
And I've done that with other content creators.
Because you yell.
And I'm like,
I thought you meant when you make yours.
No. Like, if I see something that maybe doesn't hit right to me, I was like, that was a little weird. Mm. I wouldn't have said that. But I don't hate the person for it, because I know that's probably not them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, you're only going to get a certain amount of who people are via social media. Yeah. I get people all the time that
very
are
very
like,
small amount.
Yeah, they're like get people a lot that are like, yeah, you're, you know, authentic and all stuff, and then some people like, yeah, you're not who I thought you'd be when I met you because like goofier or sillier or whatever. Yeah. Can't be as much of that. Cool. That was interesting. Glad we're keeping everybody entertained in here. Morgan wasn't even paying attention earlier, Lucas. So at least Bridget,
she's
at least Bridget
in.
And Katie are.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's get to the recent headlines. I'll let you take this first one because this is much more applicable for you and T. York in the room.
Yeah. So a day ago or so, there was a late night shooting outside of Drake's mansion. Interesting choice of picture you guys chose.
You know
there.
What that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are those dots?
Is that like kids or something?
That's
or
sex, that offender, sex offender. That's yeah. sex offender. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's obviously the picture that Kendrick used in his one of his diss tracks.
So explain the Kendrick Drake thing for those just in 30 seconds.
Yeah, and I'm not saying these are related at all because I don't think they are.
What's not related?
The shooting and the beef.
That's 100% related, right?
No, I don't think it is.
His security guards have never been shot before, and then now they're beefing and talking about showing each other and want to get shot?
It could be. You can have any conspiracy you want. But there was also a shooting 10 minutes before this somewhere else, and it was the same group of people. So I don't think it is, but it might be.
So you think it's against Drake but not Kendrick's people?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Doesn't look like a place where many shootings would be like unintentional.
Yeah, so let's talk about this place real quick. Can we talk about his house?
Kendrick and Drake, two rappers that are feuding right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, feuding, and it's been a rap feud, right? So normally that doesn't lead to shooting, but it has in the past, of course.
Biggie.
So, yeah, Biggie and Pac both died. Not good.
Apparently Diddy called the hit out, but no one wants to say it.
Well,
Eminem
Diddy's got
did.
His own
Yeah, Diddy's got
issues.
His own issues he deal with right now. He ain't worried about that anymore.
But this house, see, I think he finished it a few years ago in Toronto, and it's just ridiculous. Like one of those things that is just unbelievable. Like he brings people, he has a full court basketball court, and he brings people in to like play games and stuff, and he has a full like concierge service that picks him up at the airport, brings him in, and then like they take him to a separate part of the house to like get changed. He's got like saunas and like tanning beds in his bathrooms, like guest bathrooms. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable, but a little ridiculous, right? I think
yeah.
I don't know
how I mean to be expected to a certain degree, but yeah
but quite the estate for sure, and in a beautiful neighborhood. I think part of some stuff that Drake's talking about is that you know the Hell's Angels. You know the Hell's Angels at all, Sam?
The like the motorcycle gang.
Yeah, yeah, motorcycle gang, and they have a history of violence and stuff, and they have a big hub in Montreal. And one of like the main leaders is Drake's next door neighbor, and his name
Toronto.
In Toronto, but the big hub's in Montreal.
Okay. How do you know so much about the Hell's Angels?
Because one of his diss tracks, the leader of the Hell's Angels is in the video, and he goes and talks to them.
Like they're boys.
Yeah, they're boys. They're neighbors. They live
it's
in
a good guy to have on your side.
That's what I'm saying. And so it's like probably not a good neighborhood to be shooting shit in, you know
probably
what I mean?
Probably not. No. I mean, no neighborhood is good for shootings, Lucas.
But that's true. But especially one with one you're going to get shot back on, maybe.
Yeah,
so
probably.
Anyway, he has a full service team to run this ridiculous estate, and a lot of it is bodyguards, and he's got a gate, and then two bodyguards were outside that gate, and a couple guys or whatever happened pulled up and made some shots towards the house, and one of the security guards got hit with one of the shots.
I think he was like sleeping kind of half like
at 2 a.m. probably, unless he works the night shift.
Sure, he works the night shift, but probably wasn't with it.
Yeah. Well, probably not expecting that.
No. Did we say everything accurately, Tyler? Tyler's a big Drake guy. Big Drake guy. Okay, cool. All right, on to the next one.
Yeah.
New legislation requires faster refunds on canceled flights. A lot of flight cancellations going on these days. I feel like ever since COVID, the airline industry has never quite fully recovered as far as like efficiencies, and I don't remember so many delayed and canceled flights as there has been. I know there's Boeing's had some issues and some pilot availability and a lot of different things. Apparently the government's trying to get the airlines to pay you back quicker.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like
you know, I don't fly a lot of other airlines besides Southwest, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Southwest has certain like level of prices, like if you even are allowed a refund or not.
I think they're the most liberal on the refunds. You can always get some type of refund or credit with them, pretty much.
It's usually a credit, though, from what I remember. You know, they allow to change flights, but if you cancel it, you know, how to get that money back, I think it goes as a credit. So it's interesting for sure. It's kind of a pain in the ass, no doubt. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's obviously somebody's up in arms about it. You know, I guess it kind of depends on the reason why you – I guess the airline's the one canceling the flight. So, yeah, I get it because people get
Is that, what that is?
It's airline canceled.
Gotcha.
That make more sense?
Yeah, they should definitely give their money back pretty damn quick.
Yeah, I'd look at it because people get so anxious in airports. So airports and Starbucks waiting lines, people, like, freak the fuck out. Like, I go to Starbucks and people like waiting and they're like pacing because they want their, like, had to wait an extra 5 minutes. Like, people freak out there, and then airports too. So, yeah, I guess enough people got pissed and they want their money sooner.
Airports are a nightmare.
Yeah, they are. It's just a lot going on there.
Yeah, especially with kids.
Yeah.
Like, traveling with kids is what nightmares are made of.
And have you seen the shorts where, like, every time I do it too, like, you look on the departure, you know, screen and you see your gate, and but then you go there and then you're like, all right, this is my gate, and then you go like pee or go get your food or whatever, but like you don't need to do that. It's the gate's not moving.
It's not, you know, it's just peace of mind, Sam.
It's peace of mind. Yeah. All right, last one.
All right, California considering ban on self-checkout options for some grocery stores and retailers. What do you think about that?
I don't love, like, we talked about California is on the cutting edge of some good things, but also that if you're on the fringe of that, like, a lot of bad things and a lot of control from the government that goes on out there, and a lot of rules and regulations. And the reason they maybe are potentially doing this is because of theft. But the reason they have theft is because you can go take something and you don't get in trouble. I was out there. I saw it in San Francisco. There's a police officer standing there, and they, unless it's like less than $1,000, they can't do anything. You can literally go in and grab, you know, a soft drink, and you can grab some Advil, and you can grab, you know, candy bar, and just walk out and not pay Walgreens, and nobody does anything. You do it in front of police officers. Damn. So that's where
let's go there. That
yeah,
sounds sick.
Yeah, it sounds really sick. Yeah, yeah. So what, you go ahead and move to California, you would fucking hate it.
I like visiting.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as a company, these retailers are looking for some sort of efficiencies to make more money. Mm-hmm. That's what most of these companies do. That's why they're a company.
Capitalism.
And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of self-checkout. I usually almost always try to go to a person. But
even if you have five, like two or three items, you're going to do a
person. That's like the only time
What's your cutoff?
I would say it depends. Like, if there's 20 people in line and I got five things, I would go self-checkout.
What if you have three things and both are open?
I would go for sure a person.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Which is just my, you know, my preference. You know, I would rather.
It's your life, Lucas. You can do what you want.
Exactly. So I think the issue is, you know, we can choose what we want now. But if the government steps in and bans it, it's just takes away one of our choices.
Mm-hmm.
Which is should be like the people's choice or the company's choice,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't love it. Just because I think you should have options. There are certain things like safety and things like that I think the government can help up, but something like a choice like this, I think, is a little bit silly. Most of what California does, I think, is a little bit silly. You've seen the videos of the homeless pipeline and all that stuff. That's all because of things like how far they are that way.
And just,
most people would say that.
Like the other countries, and there was a time in this country where, you know, employers treated their people very poorly, mm-hmm. like dangerous, mm-hmm. Which is kind of how unions started, yep. You know what I mean? Which is a great thing. I think workers should be protected some way, shape, or form, and that's going to help with all this inequality that we're talking about, and has helped with it. You know, there's... how far do we take it? You know what I mean? So there's going to be some challenges with navigating. Hey, we're in a good spot now, but we're going to have this and this and this and this.
And that's kind of what happened because, like, OSHA was formed and then, like, minimum wage and all these things. So they did, and no child labor. So there has been government things that have gone into place.
For sure.
And some people, which I guess it depends on the exact type of union, but some people think unions are too much.
Yeah.
But some people obviously think they're needed at certain industries.
Yeah, and that's kind of recency bias, I would say, because when they were formed, they were obviously...
100%. Yeah. So that's where more of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, awesome. That was good. If you're still listening, hit that notification bell. That's what it says right there.
Hit it.
Hit it.
Smack it.
Smack it? Ooh, that's more of a poke.
Poke it hard.
Poke it hard, aggressively. All right, Motivation Wednesday. So, quality is not an act, it's a habit. Your man A. Stottle said that.
Mm.
What do you think about it?
I'm digesting. It's okay. Short but powerful, right?
Yes.
Would you say this is on some of the same lines of that one saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything?
I would say no.
Okay. Well, I would say yes.
Okay.
But thanks for the confidence there. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, you do something quality or you do everything quality, that's the habit that you get into, not just one thing in your life that's important just to you and some selfishness behind it or whatever. You do everything the right way, you build that habit, and then I think the quality increases, I guess. What do you think about that?
You're struggling with this one a little bit. Did we just lose a camera? It sounded like camera just went off. I got distracted. So yeah, I think it's just saying that, yeah, habits build, you know, out results, and results lead to, you know, quality.
It's very challenging to do one project or whatever it is with quality okay. project, and then everything else go to shit because you haven't built up the skills to when you're doing other things for this project to be quality. So okay. you have to build up that quality skill for this next project to be quality. It's okay. not a one thing.
Yeah, habits. You just got to get in the habit of doing
yeah.
it. And what is it? You do have things for like 3 weeks in a row and it becomes a habit.
I think it's
or
more than that. I think
66
it's like 90
days or something.
Yeah.
66 days. We got things going on.
This is fun. We got a lot of visitors.
It is fun.
In and out. Yeah.
Nice. All right, Lucas, what was your favorite part of the episode?
Oh, I like when someone wanted to eat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that gluteus maximus.
Talking about how they would do it.
I kind of have a nice, I'm a taller, thinner fellow, but I kind of got kind of a nice butt.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's throw the trash
so
in the trash.
You think you'd be tasty?
I think my booty would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds weird.
All right, let's trash it.
Well, Shane can't got to announce it. Always got to hit it. Oh, we got a little bit going on. Tyler got pulled away last minute. Shane's on the. All right, here we go. Hold on, let's see the score, Lucas. Let's just see the score. Oh, dang.
All right, what am I one above? Be tied.
Nope. Oh, you made it.
Should good shot,
it?
Lucas.
Make it close.
Yeah. There we go. Tied up.
Tied up.
Way short.
The trend has begun.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.